study Revelation chapter 20. And every time I've had a chance today to talk to somebody, I've asked them to please pray for the service tonight and to pray for me. Because I'm going to speak to you tonight about a subject. You'll recognize it when I read the scripture. And let me say to you, in all the honesty and all the sincerity I can muster in my soul, I don't care how good a Christian a person might be, preacher or otherwise, I don't care how much anybody's ever read the Bible and how much any one person may know about the Word of God, I do not believe that any human being has ever been able to comprehend all the weight and all the truth and all the seriousness of the judgment day that is yet to come, when all the unsaved world shall stand before God. Oh, the majestic throne, the majestic person upon that throne, and the millions upon millions, yes, billions of people that will be there in that awful day when God judges the world. And so, when I come to speak on this passage of Scripture, it is really with a great deal of fear in my heart and a great deal of a sense of deep responsibility and a deep sense of need of help from the Lord. Let's read about, starting in verse 10, Revelation chapter 20, just a very few verses we shall read. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now that's a great verse and says a lot. You see, from Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1 to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10, there's a period of time when you and I who are saved are not going to be here. And God is going to bring such cataclysmic judgment on this world as the world has never known. No moving picture, no description could ever do justice to the cataclysmic judgment God will bring upon the world. During that 7-year period, of which most of the book of Revelation is taken up, there will be three great leaders. I mean evil leaders. There will be the devil, and there will be the Antichrist, and there will be the false prophet. And this evil trinity will bring upon this world and cause God to bring upon this world great judgment. But now here's a verse that tells us where all of them and all like them are going to wind up. The devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Let these scriptures sink into your heart. It's speaking of this earth upon which you and I are sitting tonight, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. No place for this earth. No place for these heavens. They're all going to be there to be renovated and disappear. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, the great white throne judgment. For there is a judgment day yet to come, the like of which the mind of man cannot comprehend. You know, this judgment, is connected with some of the great doctrines and great truths of the Bible. I'll not take the time tonight, I believe you'll trust me enough to believe what I'm saying. I will not take the time tonight to go to the particular scriptures. But you know, this great judgment day is connected with the doctrine, for instance, of the resurrection. This great judgment day is connected with the teaching of the Bible on the subject of hell. This great judgment day is connected with the great doctrine in the Bible of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes not to rapture the church, but to bring judgment upon the earth. So I would say to you tonight, if there be no such thing as a judgment day in which all men who've turned down God's blessed Son shall stand before the throne, if there be no judgment day, then there's no such thing taught as the resurrection. If there be no judgment day, there is no such thing as hell, for they're connected together. If there is no judgment day, there is no such thing as the second coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe tonight, and I think one reason why I believe that God has led me to speak on this subject is that this is a neglected subject. You don't hear preachers preaching. I should say, you don't hear we preachers preaching like we ought to be preaching on the subject on the judgment day. You know, men do not really believe that they're going to meet God. Man has to believe that he's going to die, because he sees his loved ones die, and he sees his neighbors die, and he knows the history of the human race is a history of dying men and women. But man does not want to believe that after his death, he is going to have to stand before God and meet God. I say it's a neglected subject. You know, Isaiah one day saw this throne of which I'm talking about. The old prophet Isaiah said, when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he said his train filled the temple. And he said, when I saw him on his throne, he said, I heard the angels cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. I want to say to you tonight that one of these days, God Almighty is going to sit on a throne, and all the men and of all the ages who've rejected Jesus Christ are going to stand at a judgment day. I say it's a neglected subject. All of us know tonight that we're living in a world that is not expecting to be judged. Man would not live as he lives tonight, even in our nation and on the face of this earth, if he really believed down in his heart one day he must meet God. I do not believe there's a more needed subject to be put before the minds of people in all the Bible than the subject of the great judgment day. You see, the Bible says there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's a description of unsaved people. We all read Romans chapter 3, and it says, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. We just pound on that and pound on that. Well, we should. It shows that man's lost and needs to be saved. But in that same description of depraved man that's lost and without God, it says there is no fear of God before their eyes. And I want to say to you tonight, man needs to fear God. I'm not using this in the wrong way, but man needs to fear God. I fear God. The Bible says that a man ought to fear God. But I want to tell you, friend, God is almighty, and you're not. I want to say to you tonight, God is infinite, and you're not. And I believe there ought to be in the heart of every man and woman a fear of God and the knowledge that one day the man without Christ is going to meet God at the judgment day. Now, I think it's a misunderstood thing. You know, some folks think there's going to be a great, great judgment day like I'm talking about. And everybody, everyone, you and I, everyone will be there. God will weigh us in some kind of a balance. Say, you're saved, you're lost, you're saved, you're lost. Such is not the case. Sometimes people have taken verses of scripture like John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, where the Lord Jesus said, the day shall come in which all that are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of Man and shall rise from the grave. And they think everybody all at one time is going to stand before God and be judged. Such is not the case, my dear friend. I'm happy to say tonight that the person who's saved, his judgment's passed over. The person who's saved tonight has all his sins have already been touched in the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I remember reading when I was just a young preacher of the great Prairie Fires that sometimes the early people, the Indians and others of this country had to contend with. I remember reading three men one time heard the awful roar, smelt the awful smoke, and saw the awful flame coming across the prairie, licking the earth clean as it came. And one man said, I know what to do. And he set fire at his feet, and his companions looked at him as if he were crazy. But he let it burn, and burn a little circle, and a little larger, and a little larger. Then he said to his friends, step in the circle where it's already burned. And then the great fire came and rolled over them and broke as it did. And they stood absolutely unharmed. And I'm going to say tonight, thank God that the Christian stands where the ground has already been burned. For God has judged our sins in the Lord Jesus on the cross. In fact, there are seven judgments mentioned in the Bible. You know, this is the judgment of the unsaved. There's the judgment of Calvary, when God, as I said, judged our sins. There's such a thing as the self-judgment. You know, the Bible says, if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. I believe when a Christian gets alone with God and deals with his sin and confesses it to God, like John, 1 John 1:9 says, if we condemn ourselves, we shall not be condemned. There is the judgment of self-judgment. There is the judgment called the judgment seat. That's where only Christians will be at the judgment seat. No sinners there. No fallen angels there. Only blood-washed, born-again people of God at the judgment seat. And the issue there will not be whether or not that person is saved. That issue will not come up at the judgment seat. That's the time of rewards. That's the time when God examines the works and the ministries of the people of God. There's going to be a judgment seat of Christ. The Bible teaches there's a judgment of nations. Nations will be judged. I don't know how God will do it, but the Bible says that one shall be called goats, and nations that are shall be turned into hell. The wicked in all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. There's going to be a judgment of nations. And think of it tonight. I love America. I love my flag. I love my country. I believe I'm patriotic. But I want to say to you tonight, there are sins in America that are bound to bring a particular judgment of God upon this nation. There's the judgment of nations. There will be the judgment of one particular nation called the nation of Israel. Jesus came to them once, and they would have none of him. And one day they shall see him and weep, and they'll see the scars in his hands and the wound in his side and weep because they helped to put them there. There's going to be the judgment of fallen angels. But my friends, tonight, one of the most awful truths in the Bible is the judgment of sinners who are without God and have turned down Jesus Christ. And I want you to see tonight two or three things. First of all, think of the judgment throne. I read a statement about it that is staggering. John, God opened up things to John on the Isle of Patmos. John said, I saw a great white throne. I saw a great white throne. Oh, such a throne this world has never seen. There have been some great thrones in this world. I think of the throne of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, Nebuchadnezzar ruled the world. But Nebuchadnezzar's throne, the throne that looked like one of these chairs in comparison to the great white throne. It is said that the throne of the great Sultan of Persia was worth riches that even nations could not buy that throne. But no throne like this throne. A great white throne. White speaks of the purity of God. When in all of his holiness and in all of his purity, the sinner must stand before that throne. Daniel saw that throne. Daniel said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was as white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Hear me, my friend, tonight. There's a throne before which sinners must stand after death. Oh, death doesn't end at all. You know, we ought to think like the soldier thought in the Civil War when someone said, why, are you afraid to die? In the light of the campfire, he was as white as a sheet. They said to the soldier, are you afraid to die? And the soldier said, no, I'm not afraid to die. But I am afraid of what comes after death. And my friend, that's what I'm trying to get over to you tonight. Death doesn't end at all. Man is going to stand before the throne of God. And on that throne shall sit the judge of all the earth. And on that throne, thank God, is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, Jesus said, the Father judgeth no man. I don't fully understand this. I think about it a lot. I don't fully understand this, but Jesus said, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. John 5:22. He hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Why, I think of Jesus standing like he's on trial. I see Pilate up here, and I see Jesus down there. Pilate's the Roman governor, and humanly speaking, Pilate sitting on the throne could have said, you let Jesus go free. Take that Barabbas, that malefactor, out of that cell and take him out and nail him to a cross. He could have said it. But no, Jesus stands before Pilate and Jesus is judged and Jesus is sentenced to die. But one day, Jesus will not be standing before a judge. One day, Jesus is going to be the judge. And the one on the great white throne is going to be the blessed, spotless, pure Son of God. Oh, I know men. And men say, well, now, preacher, you're not going to scare me. I've had men say to me, you can't scare me. And when we tell actual, truthful things about somebody suddenly dying without God, some awful, fearful judgment suddenly come, I've had people say, preacher, you can't scare me. I think of the time when the Apostle Paul stood before old Felix, and the Bible says he reasoned with him of temperance and of righteousness and of judgment. And listen to it, Felix trembled. Here's a man, a preacher. Here's a man of God, Paul. But he told the truth of God, and a sinful, wicked man trembled. My friend, if a man will tremble before a preacher, think how men will tremble when they stand before God. I know what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 6. It says, in that day they shall cry to the mountains, fall on us. O mountains, fall on us. Hide us. Hide us from the face of him, the Lamb that sitteth upon the throne. Oh, my friends, tonight, you're the judge tonight. You know what? Man can do what he wants to with Jesus Christ. You can tell him, go away and leave you alone. You can tell him you don't want to be bothered. You can tell him you're too busy. You tell him you know some Christians not exactly what they ought to be. You can tell him anything you want to tonight. You're the judge. But one day, you'll not be the judge. You'll be the one on trial. And Jesus, the Son of God, is going to be sitting upon the throne. Oh, the issues of the judgment day. I wish I had the time tonight to just deal. You see, the Bible says, and the books were opened. See, God's keeping books. God is keeping records. There will be a record of man's deeds. Romans 2:6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now hear me tonight. Every deed you have ever committed is on the books of God, unless you're saved. All the words. You talk about equipment that can pick up singing and preaching and dictation. God Almighty has taken down every word. For Jesus said, for every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every deed, every word, every thought. You see, the Bible says, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the heart. God is keeping a record. God is making a record of what you're thinking right now. And if you're unsaved, that shall be brought before you at the judgment throne of God. All secret things. Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. But your relationship to Christ, hear me tonight, your relationship to Christ will determine whether or not you'll be at that throne, that white throne judgment. Oh, I like to think of another throne. It's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. There the Lord is speaking such a precious way to the saints of God. And he says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may make our petition, our requests known, our petitions known, and find grace to help in the time of need. Now you think of it. God says to the Christian, come boldly to the throne of grace. Many of you today have been to the throne of God. So have I. That wonderful throne, you've come, you've knelt, you've prayed, he's listened, he's heard, he's answered. The throne of grace. I'm not talking about a throne of grace. I'm talking about a throne tonight where there is no grace. Oh, you say, preacher, can that be true? Yes, no grace at the white throne judgment. I'm talking about a throne tonight where there is no mercy. Oh, preacher, you say, as long as man is alive and in existence and is a being, there'll be mercy. No, there'll come a time, like God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. I'm saying to you, this is a throne with no grace and no mercy. And it's a throne where there is no second chance. For God opens the books and judges people out of the things which are written in those books. Oh, I read years ago. It's such an awful story. I think maybe I've only told it one time in all these many years I've been preaching. There was a young man who didn't believe what I believe and what most of you believe. He didn't believe that a person never really dies. That a person is as eternal as God is, because every person not only has a soul, every person is a living soul. Man never ceases to be. A million years from tonight, everyone on this tent is going to be somewhere. Either in heaven with the Lord, or you're going to be in hell. Man never ceases to be. But there's a man, a young man, blasphemer. He didn't believe in these things. He didn't believe Jesus, Son of God. He didn't believe you need to be born again. He thought Christians were crazy and they were nuts, and there's no such thing as being saved from your sins. One day he watched a little band of Christians go down to the lake shore, and they waded out into the waters, and the preacher baptized them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And the people were happy, and they sang and they praised the Lord. And the new converts waded out of the water and were greeted by their loved ones as they hugged them and congratulated them. The blasphemous young man said to three of his friends, "This is an attested fact, historical truth." A blasphemous young man said, "I don't believe in all this stuff. I want to show you I can baptize a sheep just like that preacher baptized those people." And the blasphemer said to his three friends, "Stand on the shore, look at me." And he took a sheep and led him out into the water, held him up with his 4 feet up in his hands. And he said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." And as he sought to put him down, the 2 back feet of that sheep hit him under his chin and knocked him underwater, not over his head. And he drowned, and he died, and he went out to meet God. Someone said to three friends, they stood on the shore, they saw it, they never moved a muscle, they offered no help. Someone said to them, "Why didn't you help him? You could have waited to them." And with fear plain to be seen on their countenance, they said, "We were mysteriously frozen in our tracks. We couldn't move." Let me tell you, my friend, if you want to be brave tonight, go out in yonder thunderstorm, reach up in the clouds and get you a piece of lightning in your hand. If you want to be brave tonight, go yonder in the rattlesnake's den and reach your hand and take him in your hand. But I beg you, in God's name tonight, don't play with God. For man cannot play with God and ever come out the winner. And I saw a great white throne, and he who sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away. Oh, the issue of the judgment day will be, what have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, the judged, they're going to be the small and the great. No, you know, none are too small to get by. None are too great to get by. The poor will be judged. The oppressed will be judged. The afflicted will be judged. One good woman years ago, and I say good woman, she was a good wife and mother. She had a drunkard, alcoholic husband. And when I called in that home, these were her words. She said, "This is my hell." And she pointed to him. She said, "Many a time, no shoes on the children's feet, no food on the table, no clothes on their backs." She said, "My life's been full of hell." She said, "This is my hell, preacher." And I had to sit there with a drunkard that wasn't even worthy to touch her, the hem of her garment. I had to sit there and tell that lady, "Lady, one day you too, like that man, will stand before the judge and be judged unless you're saved." Oh, listen, no one's going to escape. There's no back door. There's no getting out. There are no excuses. You know, it's like when the Jesus told the parable of the great wedding feast, and people were to come with the wedding garments, but one man came and he had none on. And the one who gave the feast said to him, "Where is thy wedding garment?" And the Bible says, and he was speechless, and so will you. If you ever stand before God at the judgment day, you'll be a speechless sinner. You have no words to offer. There'll be no one to try to prosecute, to defend your case. There'll be no witnesses there to help you. When you stand at the judgment bar of God, it's all over, because there is no second chance. You know, the judgment itself proves that death doesn't end all. It proves that God is inescapable. I wish I could get that over to you tonight, that no man escapes God. He runs from God. He spends his money. He enjoys the glitter of this world. He engages in all the sin and all the pleasure and all the wickedness, but no man runs from God. The psalmist said, "Though I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Though I descend to the bottom of the sea, thou art there. Though I climb the highest mountains and sail into the highest clouds, thou art there." You cannot run from God. That's what I'm saying. All men, this proves that God is inescapable, that he's holy and just, and that he must be reckoned with. For the Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." One day, a father said to a little boy, "Son, every time you do something wrong, I'm going to drive a nail in that post." And so when he did, the father drove a nail in the post as a symbol that the boy had done something wrong. He said to him, "When you do something right, and when you're right, and you're exact, and you're what you ought to be, I'm going to pull one out." And one day, he pulled the nails until none were left. And the little boy stood looking at the post and said, "But Daddy, what about the holes where the nails were?" And the father hadn't thought that far. And he said to him, "Son, I can't do anything about the holes in the post. But I want to tell you tonight, hallelujah, I know someone who not only can draw out the nails, but can fill up the holes, bless God, and make you assured in your heart and your life, you'll never have to stand at the judgment bar of God." Oh, the judgment. A man says, "Why, I'm not going to believe that." Well, then you don't even believe history. You say, "I don't believe it's going to come such a day." Then don't tell me you believe what's already happened. If you say, "I don't believe there's going to be a judgment," then I'm going to say to you, you're a fool if you believe that one day God destroyed this world in a flood. But he did. And every ancient language and every ancient piece of literature in this world describes a time when God destroyed this world with a flood. Don't tell me you don't believe such a day is coming. Why, if you don't believe that day is coming, what are you going to do about the mute remains of two cities let lie buried tonight at the south end of the Dead Sea? The foundations of buildings still under those waters of ancient cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. When God said, "I'll rain fire and brimstone from heaven." Yesterday, my wife and I in the automobile, the thunderstorm came, and the hail, pieces of ice were bouncing everywhere. And I thought of that. I thought of that instant, and I said, thank God they're not on fire. And I want to tell you, God not only has a blaze of eternal fire in the bowels of the earth, God has it in heaven. And God rained fire and brimstone on cities and destroyed them. Don't you tell me tonight, I don't believe there's a judgment day coming unless you're willing to tell me. I don't even believe in the history that's past. If you say, I don't believe there's a judgment, I'll remind you, one day man said, let us build us a tower that will reach unto heaven. And God came down and destroyed the Tower of Babel. Don't tell me you don't believe a judgment day is coming. One day a country ruled this world. The fame of that kingdom of Babylon and the city of Babylon. The walls were so wide around that great and beautiful city that chariots could race three abreast upon the walls. There was a watchtower on the side of the wall, every 250 feet. They did something in Babylon. I don't know whether it's ever been done before or since. They had what they called hanging gardens and all the beauty of Babylon. And there was the great hall, the remains of which can be seen. And one night, the glasses tinkled and the feet flew fast over the floor and the bands played and the lords and ladies drank. And old King Belshazzar said, there's no God, I'm not afraid. But there came a hand on the wall and said, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. And while he was dancing and drinking and using the holy vessels taken from the holy temple of God in Jerusalem, there was old Darius the Mede undermining the moats and the gates and coming in the edge of the city. And in a little while, blood flowed like wine had flowed. Don't you tell me tonight you don't believe in judgment. Why, any man who reads history, Rome once ruled the world, but the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. And Rome fell. Greece fell. England once was the missionary center of the whole globe. And from the nation of England, there went men of God to circle the globe with the gospel. But England tonight is a nation upon which the judgment of God has come. They knight people like these rock and roll singers. And they mock at righteousness and morality. And only 2% of the people in the nation of England ever even pretend to darken the door of a church. A country that had its Wesleys and its Whitfields and its Spurgeons has been judged of God, and tonight is a nation under the judgment of God. Don't tell me you don't believe in judgment unless you're going to say, neither do I believe in history. I don't even believe what I read and what people know to be true. Don't tell me you don't believe in a judgment to come unless you're willing to say, I don't even believe in that which is already past. When I think about these books, Daniel saw those books and said the judgment was set and the books were opened. And I've often thought, I wonder what'll be in those books. I'm not going to be there. But I've often thought about it because it's a heartbreaking thing to think of a sinner going to hell. I think surely in those books there'll be a record of every time a sinner ever heard the gospel. And I have the feeling tonight that God in heaven and the recording angel is writing down Sunday night, August the 3rd, 1986, and he's saying everybody under that tent heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe in those books will be written every time that a sinner ever felt conviction. I've seen them so convicted they'd reach and grab the pew in front of them and their knuckles turn as white as my shirt. They'd hold on to it and tremble rather than to give up and come to God. And I believe tonight when a man stands before God, every time he's ever been convicted, God has a record of it. I believe every time that an unbeliever has ever had a contact with a believer and has ever seen a Christian carrying a Bible and has ever heard a Christian, come with me to the house of God and come with me to the cross and be saved. I believe God makes a record of it in heaven. I believe God has in heaven a record of every time a man or woman has ever promised, next time, next time, next time, I'm going to be saved. I believe God writes it down. And I believe he'll remind that person. You said, no, not tonight, but the next time. And you're just like that old wicked man Agrippa, who said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Go thy way for this season. When I have a more convenient time, I'll send for thee. Listen, God's written down every time. I believe God has written down every act of procrastination on the part of a sinner. I believe it's all in the books. I believe every time that an unsaved person has ever become angry with a Christian and said, get off of my porch, and angry with a preacher and said, who sent for you? Don't come unless I ask you to come. God writes it down. Oh, the hell, the awful hell, the eternal judgment of a man at the judgment bar of God without Christ and without hope. It's all in the books. But thank God there's another book. Amen. Bible said, and the books were opened, the dead were judged how those things which are written in the books. But another book was opened. And whosoever's name was not found in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I think at the time Jesus had 70 followers, disciples. And he paired them up two by two and sent out 35 couples. When they came back telling what the world would call a success story. They said demons were subject under us. People were healed. They listened. Great things happened. Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Don't talk to me about demons. I know all about demons. But Jesus said, rejoice not in this, but rejoice rather that your name is written in heaven. And oh, my friend tonight, only saved people have their name written in the Lamb's book of life. And those whose names are in the Lamb's book of life will never have their deeds read from the judgment books of God. Where's your name written tonight? Where's your name written? Is it written in the books? Every word, every thought, every deed. Every time you turned down Christ. Every time you were angry at a Christian. Every time you heard a sermon or saw a Bible. Every time the name of Jesus ever mentioned. Are they in that book? Those books? Or is your name written in the book of life? I thank God I know where mine is. And not because I'm better than anybody else, but because when I was 19 years of age, August 14, 1935, I heard the word of God preached, and I realized I had one foot already in hell. And I rose from my seat in a little country church and came to a little old-fashioned mourner's bench. And I knelt, and a dear preacher laid the Bible under my face and showed me the way to the cross. And when I arose to my feet, my sins were gone, buried in the deepest sea. And my name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and there's no eraser on the pencil God uses. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we love thee tonight. Oh, when we think about this awful day, Lord, I believe tonight, if I knew I was going to be there, I'd fall on my face and I'd ask you to forgive me and to save me tonight. Oh, what an awful day. And Lord, how we love you because you've saved us from it. You've been so good. And we love you. And dear Jesus, we love you. you changed our life. Not only you changed our life, you gave us hope and peace, and you determined our destiny. We'll be in the city four square with you and all the saved people of God. Oh Lord, tonight, I pray if one man, one woman, one boy, girl has come under this tent who's not saved, whose sins are not forgiven, oh, please save them tonight. I beg of thee in Jesus' name, speak to hearts and save people in this tent right now. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Will you keep your heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment? And every Christian praying. Now listen.